Hey, this is Pastor Clayton of the Well Community Church. I want you to discover some great truth from this message. Be encouraged and challenged. Know that God is, God loves, and God has a purpose and plan for you. You were made for more. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this: "Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here, he is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.' Then they remembered that he had said this." This is the women. Notice this. We'll get to this. The women remembered. Women, you're awesome at remembering. You remember stuff we don't even remember. You remember things we say that we didn't even know we said. They remembered what he had said. Verse 9, "So they rushed back," this is the women, "they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it." Ladies, not the first time the guys haven't believed what you've had to say, right? But this wasn't on the ladies, right? Today it's Resurrection Sunday. If you've paid attention to the calendar, that means tomorrow is what? April Fool's Day. All right? These two things, Resurrection Sunday and April Fool's, couldn't be any, you know, there's no resemblance, right? They're complete polar opposite. When you think about it, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and feel like you've been pranked or duped. You're not going to regret what Jesus has done for you, not only not tomorrow, but all of eternity. You're never going to regret receiving what he has done for you. Forgiveness of sins, it's yours. Resurrection from the dead, that sounds pretty good. You get that too. And then on top of that, life everlasting forever in heaven with Jesus, he throws that in as well. It's a threefer. It won't cost you anything. It costs him everything. He did it all for you, for me. Right? You know, for the disciples, Easter didn't start off like Easter. Right? It started off a little more like April Fool's. I'm not saying they thought there was a joke or a prank going on. They didn't know what to believe had happened. Even though Jesus had told them many times what was going to happen, they didn't know what to believe. Jesus told the disciples on several occasions what would happen to him. They didn't remember his words. It seems like that would be, if the person you're following as your leader has performed miracles, healed people, if he has resurrected people from the dead, which Jesus had, when he tells you he's going to die, be crucified, be buried, and resurrect, you'd think you would remember that, right? But they didn't remember, and thus they didn't know what to believe. The last thing the disciples remembered is Jesus had taken them to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was going to pray there. He did pray there. He tried to get the disciples to pray with him. They kept falling asleep. And he would go and wake them up and say, "Can't you just watch with me 1 hour?" And he would leave them, go a little off and pray by himself. He'd come back and they were asleep again. Any of you, be honest, when you're praying, you kind of fall asleep. It happens, right? It happens. Jeff did not say he's falling asleep right now. That's not what he said. It happens. It happened 3 times with the disciples. He kept going back, kept waking them up. Finally, that 3rd time he goes back and he wakes them up and he says, "Wake up. get up, let's be going. The betrayers here. Most of you know the story. Judas, who had been one of the disciples, betrayed Jesus. Judas was there with an armed mob there in the garden. He came up to Jesus. He kissed Jesus on the cheek. And an armed mob arrested Jesus. That was the signal Judas was supposed to give to the one they should arrest, the one that ultimately would be crucified, buried, and put away for dead. If you think about it, we don't have time to go there, but this wouldn't be the first garden betrayal of God, would it? I think God's Word starts with one of those. The Bible tells us, Matthew 26:56, just listen to this verse. This is after that whole betrayal in the garden. Again, all the disciples there. And you can imagine the pandemonium that was going on when they take Jesus. This is what's said of the disciples, which later Scripture says of these, the world was turned upside down. So these are heroes of faith to us, but I want you to hear what God's Word says about them in that moment. At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Followers are supposed to follow, right? Not desert and flee. Mark 9:31-32, listen to Jesus' words. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead. As Jesus had told them all this, those his words before any of this happened. And it goes on to say, they didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. Now, just a little side note this morning as we get started here, get going. If you don't understand what God is saying to you, speaking to you as you read and pray, ask him. Tell him, God, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand what is going on here. Help me understand. You know, God's very specific. He says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Ever been afraid to ask somebody something because you want to know the answer, but you're afraid they might like be upset you're asking them? Right? He doesn't get upset for you asking him, hey, what's your word saying? Give me wisdom. Don't ever be afraid to go to Jesus. Jesus wants you to know what he's saying, what he's doing. Jesus also said elsewhere, no longer do I call you servants. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Now listen, what happened that Easter morning, it shouldn't have come as a surprise. The biggest surprise really that happened was the disciples' reaction, their unbelief. The fact that as we read, the story sounded like nonsense to the men, they didn't believe it. Now, if you look up the word nonsense, just by definition, it means foolish, unacceptable behavior. How about that? How would you like to tell Jesus his behavior is unacceptable? Nonsense means spoken or written words that have no meaning or make no sense. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. Listen, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to someone who doesn't want to know the truth, understand the truth, accept the truth, that is not going to make sense to them. It's not going to make sense. It's going to be nonsense. But for those who choose to believe, we know it is the very power of God that changes everything. The women took the spices to anoint Jesus' body that Easter morning, found the tomb empty. Well, not completely empty. There were a couple of angels there. Other scripture, if you read the other Gospels, tells us that when the angels came down, the angels specifically rolled away the stone, and one of them even sat on the stone, kind of like a show-off angel, right? Listen, when God gets the glory, you can show off. He'll take that, all right? That's all right. Tomb was empty of Jesus, and that's when the angels declared, he isn't here, he's risen from the dead. Ta-da! Nothing to see here. But that nothing was everything. The women rushed back to the disciples to tell them what's happened. And again, the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. And other scripture tells us that Peter and John, after the women reported to him, they ran to the tomb. We're going to read that little part right here. It's John chapter 20, verse 3 through 9. The verses will be up here for you. Just follow along. Verse 3, Peter and the other disciple, that other disciple is John, started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So John's a sprinter, all right? Very fast, John. Would have been NFL drafted. Would have had a pro day. He stopped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived, went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw, catch this, he saw and believed. For until then they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Listen, John saw there was nothing to see, but that nothing was everything John needed to believe. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus taught a parable. Now, if you're not familiar, a parable is a story that conveys a spiritual truth. This is probably not a normal story many of you would hear on Easter morning, okay? So just pay close attention, and it will all tie together here. Luke chapter 6, verse 19. Again, this is Jesus telling the story. He's trying to get a spiritual truth, a spiritual point across. All right? So this is the story Jesus told. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted. Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment." But Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead." Now listen, the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he did not believe God's word. He didn't accept in faith what Christ would do for him. Lazarus, the poor, and this is not the Lazarus that was resurrected. This is a different Lazarus that Jesus is speaking of here, made up in the story. Listen, he didn't go to heaven because he was poor. The Bible does say, "Blessed are those that are poor in spirit." But he didn't go to heaven because he's poor. He went because he believed. It's all there in those last couple of verses. Listen, even the guy in torment in hell saying, "Look, at least send somebody to tell my family. There's nothing that can be done for me. Send someone to tell my family." And they're like, "Look, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, the law and the prophets, God's word, There's nothing more that can be done. It wouldn't even matter if someone resurrected. Yet someone did. And yet people still choose to either believe or not believe. See, listen, Jesus' resurrection gives us nothing to see, but everything to believe. His resurrection proves He is who He said He was. It proves His word is true. It proves that He has the authority to forgive sins. It proves He has the authority over death. He conquered death in the grave. It proves that after death, He will, just as He resurrected, resurrect those that are His and give life everlasting. That's what that empty tomb, that nothing to see, proves. Listen, if you believe, you will share in that heavenly banquet just as the poor man did. But if you don't believe, you'll experience the torment just like the rich man did. He thought he had everything, but he had nothing. Lazarus had nothing, but his nothing, in his nothingness, he believed, and Lazarus ended up with everything. Listen, this is either going to sound like truth to you or it's going to sound like nonsense. And it all really comes down to, what does the message of Jesus' resurrection sound like to you? Does it sound true or does it sound like nonsense? Do you need more than nothing this morning to believe? John saw nothing and believed. You might be thinking, well, that's not fair. If I would have gone to the empty tomb and, you know, saw him not there, I would believe. Right? It's a fair question. I'm not trying to set you up here or anything. It's fair. Sounds fair. But Jesus said his own words elsewhere, John 20, he said, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. The grave's still empty. So do you believe now? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember Jesus' words, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." And the other part of that verse says, "Do you believe this?" He's talking to Martha before he raises the other Lazarus. Listen, God doesn't want you to perish to a place of hell of torment like that rich man. He wants you to be in heaven like that poor man. But it rests in what you choose to believe. And that's where it really comes down to. See, some of you think, you know, you may not even realize where your beliefs come from, but all your beliefs come from the fact of what you choose to believe. You weren't born with belief. You developed it in what you choose to believe. Jesus died, was buried, resurrected. Is that nonsense to you? Or do you choose to believe? So I'm going to have our, whoever's playing, come on up here. We're going to close with a verse here, all right? If you've been part of the Well or you're a believer, you're going to know this verse. A lot of times when I'm speaking about salvation, I quote this. It's in Romans. We'll get to it in just a second. But even if you think you're familiar with the verse, I want to kind of highlight something in it. And maybe it'll, even though you think you know the verse, it might click with you in a way that you haven't ever thought about before. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And it's very plain and simple. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that just means call out to Him. Ask Him to save you. Call out to Him. Notice that next part, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. Do you understand how important that belief, choosing to believe that is? You must believe that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, or you cannot be saved. That's not Clayton Beck. That's God's Word Bible. It's right there. I believe that He came, He died, was buried, and resurrected. And by believing that, I am saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now listen, let's just get, you know, again, we're a lot of family here, and I know we have guests and everything, but we make it real simple at the well because God made it simple. Anyone that's made it confusing has been man. Man messes everything up. Can't get nothing right. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. No one does good. The only one that was perfect was Jesus Christ. That's why He was the sacrifice. That's why He went to the cross. You can't be good enough. Listen, you couldn't sacrifice yourself for your sins. You couldn't be your own martyr. That wouldn't be good enough to a holy, righteous God. He needed perfect, no blemish, no defect, no sin. And there's only been one that is that, and that's Jesus Christ. He willingly went to the cross. Listen, He's God. He created everything. He created the plan of salvation. There could have been any number of ways He could have done it, but He chose to do it this way. Why? Because He wanted people to choose to believe. God never wants to make you believe anything. He wants you to choose to believe. He loves you. He died for you. He was buried for you. And He resurrected for you. What do you believe?
Hey, it's Pastor Clayton again. Thank you for listening to this message. You can find the Well Community Church on Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast channels as well. I look forward to connecting with you in one of our services. Remember, you were made for more.